Hello, and welcome to HIT Innovation Founder Stories podcast series. In this podcast, we will be speaking with Jakob Junnerhoff-Jonk, co-founder of Indomondo. Jakob shares his story of how he and his friends turned their passion for fitness and health into a brand, a sports community based on free, real-time GPS tracking of sporting activities.
And tell me about the venture capital process. Since you said you guys were pretty naive at the time, as people are aspiring entrepreneurs, what words of advice can you give them for going through that process?
So there are a ton, I guess. One thing is, consider your team really hard. If you're doing a tech company, don't start a tech company with no engineers in the founding team. We wouldn't do that again. No chance. Then again, a lot of engineers outside the Valley are not too risk-taking. So it's a bit of both. But we would never start a tech company again with no engineers in the founding team. So that's one thing. Of course, look at the team. Secondly, I'd say be careful about the timing. We were lucky at some point betting on this, and it came through. But the other side of the coin was that, the timing of raising capital, right in 2008, it was just a nightmare. But nobody could have anticipated that. I mean, hindsight, it was the financial crisis that broke out, and just try not to do that in those times. The benefit, though, is that when you start a company in a financial crisis is that you don't get too many competitors because it's just too risky starting up a company. Now, thirdly, I would say it doesn't harm to have people in a company with a track record of building startups because when you go to VCs, they care about what you've done before. So they always judge the team. The business plan in a company like ours, it's like, yeah, but if they can see the idea and they can see parts of the potential, then they're in it. But if you get a team with a track record of building up successful startups that have exited, this is significantly easier to raise capital. We didn't have that at the time, but we can see that when other people are doing it. So if you can get those are the sort of the three things that we would redo if we could.
Well, good. How do you feel your management consulting background, how do you think that helped you in that process of starting it up?
So one thing that you learn a lot about business. So you learn to understand how other companies think. And you learn to work with these companies in different ways. I think that's, in all honesty, we were pretty good at creating Excel files and PowerPoints and all that stuff. It's a lot about what you do as a consultant. But these skills that you learn as a management consultant, I'd say they only really come into play about a year ago when you get to a certain size and when you start talking to big partners. Not only what we're talking about today, like Google or Facebook or other types of companies that we're in great dialogues with, but also let's say you're talking to some of the biggest brands in the world about what can you do together. Then the management consultant background comes into that as a favor because you know a lot about how they think and what they're aiming for, and you're capable of putting yourself in their place, and you're capable of having a very high level dialogue, and keeping that. It's one of the deficits of being an engineer. Oftentimes, is something they have to learn. Often is to not to be too focused on the detail, but really try to see the high level view of it. And that's one of the benefits you have as an executive management consultant. You constantly try to look at it from above and see what you can do to change stuff. And that ability is definitely something that we learned through that career, and that comes in handy. But I wouldn't say that I wouldn't say it was a real advantage to begin with, to be honest. It's you start up a company, there's nothing there. I mean, you're the one buying the printer, you're the one changing the cartridge, and you're the one buying tables from IKEA, and you do everything. You do everything. So there's, I mean, management consults, you don't do a whole lot. I mean, you got people to help you all around, and you give orders and ask for stuff, and then you do the analysis and recommendations and stuff, but there's so many things you don't do as an executive management consultant. And those are the things you have to do as a startup. And you have to like doing all these stuff. It's part of the game. And so I wouldn't, and in all honesty, I think there were more disadvantages to begin with than the other way around. But if you have the mindset and you really want to do it, you can, I mean, you survive, and you're ready when it becomes more successful, and you take these, I think, more important discussions with major companies. That's where you really start shining through, I think.
That's really good feedback. I'm a management consultant myself, so that's really good perspective. I appreciate that. Tell me about, you guys just recently won the Microsoft Health Users 2012 Innovation Award. Tell me about that.
Well, we were very happy that the awarders they gave us that award. I think for us it's a signal really that what we've been trying to do here has seen recognition in the market, and I would see the Hawk Award is another sort of sign that what we're doing is not totally off. I think the way we work with Google, and they've invited us to showcase at different events at the I/O, and they put us in Editor's Choice, and that was a big recognition for us. Microsoft is another really big recognition for us, not only on what they've done with us on the Windows 8 launch, but also on the Windows the Phone 7. I think that's also a sign of appreciation and recognition to what we're doing with Facebook today. We're not too concerned about awards, but we do appreciate them, of course. It's more like, for us, it's more like it gives us an opportunity to work with the tech companies that are changing the world and be part of that and try to see what can we do together that really leverage what we do and adding value to what you guys do as a platform provider. And that's what we're trying to do. And having that dialogue is very, very interesting for us. And the Hawk Award, I think, is a sign of an appreciation of having a constructive and really good dialogue with these kind of companies, Microsoft included.
Good. Can you probably last question, because I know our time is running out. What are your thoughts on the state of using mobile technology for consumer health for their benefit? What are your thoughts on that industry, and how can we utilize that technology in more ways that we can put the tools in front of the consumer so that they can manage their health and stay healthier and live longer lives?
Wow, it's a big question. I can probably talk for hours about this. I'm very passionate about it. I think we've only just seen the beginning. I'm pretty sure you've read Thomas Goode's book, The Wired Magazine's editor. What's it called? The Decision Tree. Have you read that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of him, and I think one of his points was, as far as I remember when I read it back then, that today the accessibility of technology is just so massive that contrary to just 5 years ago, you get the ability to really measure a lot of data. Personally, and I totally agree with him, and as price as technology comes down, this is only going to explode even further. I think the way you're going to see Numando evolve and also the industry, I think it's a very young industry in the sense that right now you're just measuring data. You don't do anything with it whatsoever. You leave it up to the consumer, and you have that quantified self movement that believe in you know, as far as I understand, believe in people's ability to make sense of these data on their own, just by, you know, analyzing and looking at them over time. I think for most people, this is not the case. For most people, they need help to understand this kind of data. So I think we're only in a very, very young industry. I think this will only pick up. You will get more and more tools to measure what you're doing from a consumer health perspective. Then I think over time, and I think this will happen more rapidly than we probably expect, I think you're going to start seeing companies trying to make sense of data and really help people understand what they need to do in order to improve their fitness level or their health state or their sleep pattern or whatever they want to focus on. I think there's a lot of potential in doing that. That's the consumer side of it. I think we've just seen the beginning. I think one more thing that I mean, at least that's how we look at the world. It's one thing to be able to track your data, and you have so many devices, and again, it's exploding, but you don't really, if this data and this track of what you do, for that to become interesting to do over time and engaging to do over time for a normal human being, it's got to be more than a gadget. It's got to be something more than just tracking your data and everything. It's kind of back to this. So some of the things that was frustrating for me back when we started in Amundo was that I couldn't share my data with anyone. So I could measure my own personal performance. And today you will find tons of systems, and you've further on, you know, the machine is able to tell the man what the man is able to do going forward. But I think all of this is really missing key component in making this a sustainable, engaging experience online, and especially what's needed to create behavior change. I think you need the social aspect, and I'm 110% about that. So I think what you're going to see, at least in my viewpoint, is you're going to see these services try to either integrate with services that make social to make it more engaging, or try to do it themselves. I'm a bit, you know, it's interesting to follow the game, but you take a Jawbone, or you take the Nike Fuel Band, or you take these kind of service, or even the Motorola Active, and you go and you look at the service that they provide in the user, and it's a very individual service for most parts. And I think if you couple it with what other people in your own personal life are doing, like with friends and family, people that matter to you, if they're not in on it, there's a limit to how motivating and how life-changing this can all be. But I think if you get that right, I think there's a tremendous, tremendous potential in to create life-changing behavior for a lot of people. This will not, I think there's a limit to how many people you can actually engage in this. Mm-hmm. You know, the better educated you are, the more you know about technology, the easier it is for you to understand what's going on. And I mean, this is all, it's all skewed towards the better part of the society, and I think it goes for the same for this industry. But I think we are going to reach more people than we've ever done before, and I think we can do that in more engaging ways than we've ever done before. There's one other side of the equation, which I think is really interesting, and that's the healthcare perspective. I think it's a really difficult argument to run these days, but we're completely focused on the consumer side, on the fitness, on the exercise. But I can't see why the individual consumer shouldn't be able to take his or her data and go to their company and say, or go to the doctors and say, why can't I integrate this in what you know, so that the doctor doesn't have to sit down there and question you about how you feel or how you're doing or how active you've been, knowing that physical activity is the most important factor for life expectancy and the quality of life. Knowing that, I think there's a tremendous potential in integrating these healthcare systems with consumer health data that you track on your own. There are many different aspects of this, but I really think there's a potential there. And I know that the first kind of dialogues that we have with these kind of companies. They're really interesting. It's not something that we necessarily focus too much on right now. I think it's maybe not mature enough for it, but I think there is a really big potential. And that's where you have, that's where the end consumer gets something that, you know, where this kind of tracking of data becomes interesting, not only from a personal perspective and social perspective, but also actually from the way that you can integrate this into the other services that you have in life, so that you know when you go to the doctors or when you talk to insurance companies, you can get a lower fee or what have you. I think there's a lot of potential there.
This concludes part two of HIT Innovation Founder Stories with Jakob Nordenhof-Jonk of Endomondo. Thank you for listening and have a great day.